We're up to page 182, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, again, page 182, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vidibarti Al Hanavim. Hashem is continuing to complain that Klal Yisrael is not faithful. Hashem over here is describing all of the various chasadim that Hashem has done for us. Okay, all the various chasadim Hashem has done for us, and one of them over here is Vidibarti Al Hanavim. Hashem has spoken upon the Vim, has delivered into the minds and mouths of the prophets messages, communication for Klal Yisrael. That's a very big chesed. That Kadosh Baruch Hu can speak to us today. The biggest problem we have in this world today, beyond a question, is we don't know why things are happening. We don't know how to make sense of world events. We don't know how to make sense out of private events. Everything that's happening to us, why? Why did this happen? What's the message? What's the message? What does Hashem want for us? That is...
It takes much imagination.
Oh, what? Why?
Oh, yes, it does.
Why did the Holocaust happen? Is there anyone that can tell you?
Rabbi, I think the military.
Without being specific, this event or that event, generally speaking, things happen because we are sinners.
Really? There are 1.5 million children who died in the Holocaust. What did they do? What did they do?
We have answered this question before the Holocaust. Comes up in these questions always come
okay,
up.
Okay, fine. Then.
We've had the answers to these questions.
If you get the message.
These are not new questions.
If you get the message,
okay,
what
fine.
Exactly is the message?
What's the message? What's the significance that the United States has moved their embassy to Yerushalayim?
No, I cannot. We don't have the ability. We have the ability in general to understand.
We do? Even in general? Even in general? I don't know. I
accept all the stuff that we've been fed for all our lives. That
just
there's a balance.
Okay.
A balance.
Okay.
Really?
We're not good.
Just
we're
remember good. Who has the Nebuah now.
Yeah, Mark Flatnick.
Just remember who has the Nebuah now.
Isn't Mark in the New Testament?
If you get my drift. If you get my drift.
You're acting it out.
Okay, whatever you had over here is that the
great... It's interesting here. Nobody really wants to accept
that. Only you got that
there. We're not good people.
Well, why do you say we're not good people? Why do you want to say that? Why do we want to say that? There are many good people.
God failed in his creation of mankind. Man cannot do what he wants us to do. We failed from the very beginning.
Okay, that's not true.
For 38
years
in
the middle,
we were
very good.
By the way,
Abel Babich. Okay, whatever it is, to each his own.
38 years, we were great in the Dara Midbar. 2 years,
right.
We screwed up.
Okay, that's the point. Constantly screwing up.
2 years out of 40?
That's it. And they ruined everything. Look at that.
Okay, whatever it is, but what you're saying is true. To some degree, you can take a general message from Hashem that we need to improve, but the specifics and the details is beyond us. And the greatest ches that Hashem can do with man is to provide Nevi'im, and Nevi'im can tell them very specifically, with very great detail and precision, exactly why things are happening. And here Hashem is saying, I've done for you that ches during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, when they were being exiled, when the Holocaust was happening, 10 Shvatim were being removed from Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk here says, V'dibarti al Hanavim. And we're going to see over here the Pasuk, and the Mefarshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't give you one prophet. I gave you many. I gave you hundreds, thousands. Chazal said there was 1.2 million prophets. And everyone, and this was real. This was the real deal. This was the real direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, telling you exactly why things are happening. So you have no excuses. You have no excuse to say that I'm groping in the darkness. I don't know why things are happening. That's why I'm doing Averos. You do know why things are happening. You do understand what's happening because I've given you prophets to tell you exactly what's going wrong. And yet you rebel? And yet you have the chutzpah to go against Hashem's will and not do tshuva? Then there is no excuse whatsoever. That's what this pasuk here teaches us. Vidibarti al hanavim. Hashem says, I spoke to the Nevi'im. I provided them with all of the inside information. V'yanochi chazon hir besi. I didn't just give you a small amount of visions. I gave you, here, Basie, I gave you an abundance of prophecy, an insight into the way the world is, the workings of, inner workings of the world. Uviyad ha-nevim adameh. Now, the word adameh, we're going to see in the first, there are two basic translations for the word adameh. Adameh means I would appear, a dimyon. Miloshon Dimyon, that Kodesh Baruch, when he appears to a Navi, Hashem appears. We have many Mamori Chazal. Sometimes Hashem appears to Klai Yisrael as a Zokein Mole Rachamim. Sometimes Hashem appears to Klai Yisrael as a Gibor. Sometimes Hashem appears to Klai Yisrael. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. When Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem spoke to Moshe, it's a very beautiful Chazal. It's often quoted. In what voice did Hashem speak to Moshe Rabbeinu? I'll give you go on the GPS. And it tells you, make a right, make a left. Whose voice? Who's speaking to you?
A lady, a man.
So, you, so who? Give me a name.
Siri.
Give me a name. Who exactly is speaking? Siri. So first of all, you can doubt. Okay, so exactly, Siri, okay? That's Google. That's Amazon or who's Siri? That's Apple?
Apple.
Siri, okay. So you can download on all the good GPS systems. You can download, go to Waze, and go into the settings, and you can download celebrities. They have actually these big, very popular celebrities that are paid to dictate basically every possible direction. Or they have a script.
They have
the yeshivish voice
also.
They also
have
yeshivish
voice
also?
And what? English.
English? Yeah, that's probably a good Purim spiel. They have probably, okay. Yeah. So you can it's not a joke. You can download all the biggest celebrities. You can download they've spoken out all of their all the possible instructions. So when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, whose voice? So it's a famous Spanish, and his father's voice. When Hashem said to Moshe, Amram was no longer living when Hashem appeared to Moshe the first time at the burning bush at the Sneh. So Hashem said to Moshe, "Shal nolecha mial raglecha ki amokayim." Whose voice did Hashem speak? Did Hashem speak with? The Chazal say it was Amram. Amram was the voice of Hashem.
So he wouldn't be in total shock.
We total shock. Adrav, from the dead, he hears a voice come.
But the point is a familiar.
It's a familiar voice, but there's a lot of depth in that. Why the voice?
When did his father die? You don't know his father.
We do know. We have whatever the calculation is. I think we do know. I think there's from Seder Olam. We basically know when he died. He died before Hashem appeared to Moshe, and Moshe seemingly knew about it. And Hashem spoke to Moshe in his father's voice. And there's a lot of depth in that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to a child, to Moshe, in the image of a father, Avinu Malkeinu, a fatherly voice. It's his own father, so he related to Hashem the way he would relate to his own father. So that's, then we have in the Yam, I just mentioned, the Yam Hashem appears as a bochur, as a young man who is a gibor. And then by Har Sinai, Chazal say Hashem appeared to Klal Yisrael as a zokein mole rachamim.
Right.
And v'cheina v'cheina, every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Klal Yisrael or to a Navi, Hashem appears to them in a different form. And that's Hashem is not just one size fits all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is part of the Kabbalistic concept of Tzimtzum, Shakai, Sha'omar Li'olamoidai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he limits himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. Hashem is a father, a Zokein, a Bochur. Hashem is every midah possible. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to a Navi at a specific moment in time, at a specific event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits himself to one particular midah. And by the Sneh, it was in the midah of a father. In fact, it was Moshe's father, Amram. V'chahina v'chahina. And that's what the word here, it's a very profound idea, Adameh. So half of the Mefarshim say that's the translation. Others say a different interpretation, we'll see in a moment. But Adameh means I appeared. I compared myself. I made myself similar to a particular figure. Adamed Dimyon, Miloshen Dimyon. So here, this pasuk is an amazing pasuk, because this pasuk there are basically three different themes, describing the multifaceted nature of prophecy that existed during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. It will appear from this pasuk that in all the periods of time in Jewish history, Gesundheit, the time where Klal Yisrael experienced the greatest revelation was during the Holocaust of the Aseres HaShvatim. And by extension, it's something which is definitely true. You hear this, is that during the Holocaust, the stories of divine revelation, things which you don't hear about today, were at a very, very high. There was a very great intensity. People will tell you stories, hundreds, thousands of stories of their parents coming to them in dreams. People coming to them in dreams and telling them what to do. Should they run away? Should they not run away? Should they do this? Should they do that? What's going to happen? You have all these spooky, supernatural stories. You don't hear these stories today. And anyone that will tell you a story like this today is immediately suspect that they need some medicine. They need to go to a doctor. They're hearing voices, and they need medicine. And if you read the Svarim, if you read the literature, today, to get a communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a dream, it's impossible. According to the rules of I have a whole sefer, this thick on chalomos, on dreams. And you know, it has very choshva haskamas from very normal Gedolei Yisrael. They've gone to the sefer, and it's all very straightforward. And if you read what it says in the Svarim, there's really no way today in our generation where it's even possible for a person to have a dream that has any meaning whatsoever. It's just impossible. Just go through the sources. You know, we have halach, we have shulchan aruch, we have basic Svarim which tell us, we have a messiah of how things work. And to say today that a person goes to sleep and has a dream, and someone, a malach, comes to him and tells him the future and tells him the past, tells him this, it's not, you're making these things up. You're imagining things. You're hallucinating. Yet, only go back 70 years, and there are stories. The stories are just so true, and especially when your grandparents tell you the stories, and you know they're not making it up. How could it possibly be? So the answer, I'm not saying this on my own, is that at a time of churban, of intense churban, which is l'malo miderech hateva, the Holocaust, 6 million people, just not to be fathomed what happened, zel umazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened himself up, allowed there to be channel of communication and a revelation that some individuals merited.
A tiny
percent, fine. But that tiny percent is still infinitely more than what is today. Today you don't hear of this. Today you don't hear of anything like this. You don't hear of dibbuks. You don't hear of people have dreams. You don't hear of any type of communication, these supernatural things. You just don't hear. And anyone that claims, we usually find out later that it was a fake. That the whole thing was a fraud. We usually hear, so why? Because at the times of Zelu Umazel, when Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing Churban, Rachman Litzlan, to some degree Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up and allows there to be a communication with the other world. Why, how, what's the reasons, I don't know, but they two go together. And you see that here in this pasuk very clearly. We're here at a time of Churban. The Aseres HaShvatim are being exiled. And this is traumatic. They never came back. And yet it says here, at this point in time when this happened, look at this pasuk. What do you have such a pasuk in the whole Tanakh? Vidibarti al hanavim. First of all, it says, Vidibarti al hanavim. And some of the more Kabbalistic Svarim, like Kliyokar, as well as like Kliyokar in this pasuk, he says the word al. Why does it say the word Vidibarti al and not el? So he explains, he has a whole elaboration, you have to see it inside, is el means ordinary nevuah. The Hashem speaks El towards a Navi. Al, he shows, is a word which means a much greater level, a much more intense level. Al Miloshen Elyoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one that was merited to have a Nevuah, Biasplak Maria Hami'ira, an unclouded version of prophecy. Whereas all the other prophets, their prophecy was clouded. Yes, like Maria, she'ena meira. But at this point in time, it says v'dibarti al hanavim. At least according to the Kliyakar, it's coming to allude to the fact that the nevim, an ordinary navi that ordinarily would not marry to receive a nevuah, that's crystal clear, like Moshe, because he's not on that level, would only be expected to have a prophecy that's black Maria, she'ena meira. In this time, was given al. Miloshan Elyon was given a more intense experience. Then we have a second expression of the pasuk. V'yonochi, Hashem himself, Chazoyin Hirbesi. I am intensifying here. I'm increasing prophecy. It's not just going to be one or two Nevi'im here and there. Everyone that ever went to the school of Nevi'im got a degree, got an accelerated degree. And they all, even though they were not expected to pass the exams, only, you know, on the normal circumstances, you only would have a few graduates. Here, Hashem, everyone got an A. Everyone passed because there was an emergency and the Klal Yisrael needed many Nevi'im. And then the last one, Uviyad HaNevi'im Adameh, everyone, Hashem, appeared to each Navi according to an image, a version, a dimyon, which would be ideal to that particular Navi. Okay, that's one translation for the word Adameh. We'll see in a moment there's another translation. Adameh, it means Mishalem. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke to a Navi, the Proverbs, Hashem gives different, Yecheskel, Hashem told him to go take a pan and Gzuntayin and go put, make the pan represents Yerushalayim. Hashem told Yeshaya, Navi, he compared Klal Yisrael to a vineyard. Hashem doesn't speak raw. To speak raw terms could at times be too difficult, too much to handle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a little chesed and he speaks to us through Mishalim, Proverbs. Hashem creates different Mishalim that we relate to, the Dubna Magid. Okay, Hashem was the ultimate Dubna Magid Kaviyachal. He gave Mishalim which the average person could relate to. He watered it down for the common man. Why? Because at this point in time, it was a very, very tragic time. And we needed the comfort of Hashem much, much more than ordinary, the normal. And that's why there was this greater intensity at this point in time. Let's see the Mefarshim Pasuk Yud Aleph from the Mesillas David, Vidibarti, Al Is, page 183, on the very bottom, Vidibarti, Al Is Keichem, Dibarti, El Hanevi'im, concerning your actions, concerning your conduct, your sin. I spoke to the prophets, Verbesi Divrei.
That's his
okay, the word is al. Al means concerning. Vidibarti, I spoke to Klal Yisrael, al, concerning your actions. You have to read it backwards. You read the first word to translate the pasuk is the word al. Concerning your behavior, dibarti, I spoke, hanavim. I spoke to the prophets. Okay, you're right. So you have to read the words as very common to translate the words out of order in order to make sense of the pasuk. Al iskechem, concerning your behavior, dibarti, I spoke. We hear another word el to the prophets on the vim. Verbesi divrei chazoin, and I increased words of prophecy. Adameh, what does it mean? Adameh. So this is the second parish I told you as we translated. Adameh, ritzoin loymar, dibarti bedimyoin uvimashal liyos mekubal al halev. I spoke to you with mishal and proverbs so that you could accept it. It should be something which is you're receptive to the words. Ki me'oid ani mashkiach b'cha, because I have very much paid close attention towards Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's see Rashi. V'dibarti al hanavim lo yichich etzchem ulachzir etzchem lemutav. I spoke to the prophets in order to give you Musar, and to beg you that you should return to Hashem for your own benefit. Uviyad HaNevim Adameh Nir'esi Lochem Bekame Dum Yois. So this was the first translation I told you, that Hashem appeared to the prophets in different images. Sometimes as a Gibor, sometimes as a Zokain, sometimes like Moshe's father. Different Dimyoinas. Did Hashem ever appear as a woman? Think about that. Did Hashem ever appear? Is the Shechina, so the Shechina is Hashem. Okay,
the vision of the two women?
I don't know. Hey, that's something to think about. Does Hashem ever appear in the dimyoin of an Isha? Okay. Is there such a thing to say? Is that because to say such a thing like that? Is there such a thing to say like that? Hashem appeared to Moshe in the guise of his father, Amram, and a Zokain, and a Gibor. What else do we have? We have other images.
Yamsa was a
Gibor.
As a warrior.
And by Har Sinai was a Zokin Mole Rachamim.
Yeah.
Amram by what?
A teacher.
Well, no, Zokin Mole. It doesn't say teacher. Zokin Mole Rachamim. What do we have as a teacher?
That's another one. That's
That was Har Sinai.
As an elder teaching the Torah at Sinai.
It's probably another medrash. An elder? It's a Rebbe. Okay, whatever. I'm just throwing that out. The Yehovah Father, Hashem, who appears in the guise of a woman. Because Hashem is called Yehovah. Hashem encompasses everything. And I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. Hashem's the Chasan. But sometimes we find it both ways. Sometimes we find that we are the Kala and Hashem is the Chasan. But there are other examples in the Chazal where the Shechina is the Kala. Look, on Shabbos we say, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. We call Shabbos the queen, a feminine form. Shabbos is the Shechina. Shabbos is Yom Shekul Shabbos. Shabbos, we go out to the Sodeh and we makabel the Shechina. The Shechina in this form of Shabbos is in the feminine, a queen. Okay, so there are all different types of dimyonis. It's not one size fits all. There is a lot of diversity. There's a lot of many dimensions to relating to the Shechina. And the source for this concept is these words right here. You have people say, what are you saying? You're making nonsense. You're making things up. No, it says it right here. Uviyad hanavim adameh bekama dimuyos. Hashem appears to Klal Yisrael in many different forms.
Images.
Dimyonis. It's a very powerful expression. You can't take this expression lightly. The other perish is not like maybe those who pack hold it's too much of a license to go so far. They prefer the interpretation, Mishalim. Hashem, like the Dubna Magid, Hashem throughout Tanakh is always giving us Mishalim. You're a vineyard that I've invested in, I've worked so hard, and you have produced sour grapes. Yecheskel, Hashem tells Yecheskel, go get married, make believe you're getting married to a Zoyna and have children, and now try to divorce her. Can I divorce Klal Yisrael? Hashem gives us throughout Tanakh many, many mishalim so we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. Dover Acher, Adam Elohem Devarai Al Yidei Mishalim Kidei Liyashvam Al Shoyim Ehem. It should be received. The people that are listening should be able to relate to the message of the speaker. Okay, this is the Rashi. Let's take a look at the ad now. I'm not going to go through every single mafarish. I underlined certain things. Let's see what I underlined. Let's take a look at the Radak. Okay, the Radak says, Vidibarti al hanavim, kumoy im hanavim. Everyone is struggling with what does it mean, im al? So the Mitzudas, Rabbi Chol pointed out, means Al is referring not, does not mean to the prophets. Al is an independent statement, Lefi the Mitzudos, concerning your behavior. I spoke to the Nevi'im and instructed them to give you Musar. Radak disagrees. Radak says Al is synonymous with the word Im. I spoke with the prophets. The Cheni has a proof to this. Vayavo ho'anashim al ho'anashim. When Klal Yisrael gave donations to the Mishkan, it says they came with the women. It does not say vayavohu ho'anashim al hanashim. It does not mean they stepped on the women. It does not mean that when they gave donations to the Mishkan, the men stepped on the women. Vayavohu ho'anashim al hanashim. The men came upon the women. If you're going to translate literally, you're into trouble. Whatever it means, so you have to say it means with. So just like in Chumash, al means with. Here too, it means with. Amar ma yecholti lasois lochem v'loy osisi kedei shelo tishkachuni. Over here, the Radak is not coming to explain the message of this pasuk. Hashem is complaining. What did I not do for you? I've tried so hard. What did I not do to try to give you musa in order to influence you to do tshuva? Umashu osisi mavoseichem. I've tried so hard. I've sent prophets to warn you, to instruct you, to give you musar, to return, influence you to return to me. I've increased prophecy, vision to them for many days, and you failed to take advantage of this gift, and that's why now you're going to suffer. Uviyad hanaviim. Adameh. What's Adameh? So the Radak says the perish the means the Kol Nosati Dimyoinois Umeshalim. He is learning like Rashi's second interpretation, Meshalim. I've given them many simple examples, proverbs, so that you could relate to them. The famous marshal in the beginning of Yeshayah is that a vineyard, that Hashem compares Klal Yisrael to a vineyard, which a farmer put in great effort and investment. And what happened? The vineyard produced sour grapes. Hashem Yecheskel, Michoy Rosayich Umola, the Taich, compares us to, I've sold you, I've given birth to you. Different examples. V'chol ha'parashu mash amah b'v'yad perushay ki al yodam ho'yashlech l'cham ha'dimyonos v'amasholim k'moy diber Hashem b'yad Moshe. B'yad just means through them, they were the instrument how Hashem conveyed his message to the Jewish people. Okay, let's now take a look at the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim on the bottom. Yes.
This expression. Daber al libo, which means to convince in a positive way, as opposed to el libo, which is the Medrash says is a negative.
So you want to say el is negative, al is positive.
That's in the Medrash, right? Daber el
El is musr.
That's a negative.
Negative.
Like myomer haman el libo. But
has a connotation of positive.
Positive.
Very nice. Okay, so very nice. So here is exactly the point. Hashem is, I encouraged you with good things in order to make you succeed in what you failed me. Let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vidibarti ala neviim hinei rotzisi lahashivam b'shuva. I wanted they should do tshuva v'lochenei for the herbeisi l'chem neviim rabim. Now here he says, I've increased for the many prophets in this point in time. Ki bimei Achav, during the worst time of Jewish history, Achav, when he influenced Klal Yisrael to worship idols, amdu kama meois neviim shahayu kulam talmidei Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi had a yeshiva for prophets. Okay, the yeshiva, where do you find the first yeshiva? The truth is, the first yeshiva goes Eliyahu. He is the first Rosh Yeshiva. I do not, Avram Avinu, here as a nefesh, Asher Osu B'choron, that's more of a Chabad house. I don't know if you would call that a yeshiva.
A yeshiva for prophets as opposed to non-profit.
It was it has to be a profitable institution. Okay? Es HaNefesh Asher Osu B'choron, was that a yeshiva or a Chabad house? A Chabad house is not a yeshiva. It's a service provider. They're service providers. They provide services. Food, they learn with you a little bit, they give you a little Torah, a little food, a little schnapps. I can give you an aliyah, a little encouragement, a little chizuk. Right? It's not a yeshiva.
Really? How long did Yaakov spend there?
Yaakov didn't spend. No, based special shame the Eva. Oh, that's different. Right, that's a different. That's different. I'm sorry. That's what you're referring to. I'm talking about Avram Avinu.
All
right. Avram Avinu. That's the earliest source.
Okay.
Avram Avinu had v'yes hanefesh asher osu b'choron. It does not say that Avram Avinu had a yeshiva. It does not say that. Av had an eshel.
The movement, but out of
your Eshel, right? Eshel was Achila Shesia Levia. Vayita Eshel. Eshel, Chazal said he made what we would call today, I think the best dogma would be a Chabad house. Eshel, Achila Shesia Levia. He took care of these people. And by doing so, he was Makar of them, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. That's not a yeshiva. That's a different, that's a hospitality center. Shame and Aver, you're right, I made a mistake. That's the earliest source, Beis Medrash Shel Shame, who Beis Medrash Shel Aver. That was a yeshiva. A yeshiva is not a place where you go for food. Okay, if they'll provide you food, you're lucky. But that's not the goal. The goal is to teach you Torah. Okay, in Europe until I think the yeshivas, most of them did not provide food.
Right.
You had to go into the community.
Essenteg.
Yeah. You had to go to the community members, and they would give you macabre upon themselves to feed boys, to take a boy in, to give them supper. Not every meal, only occasionally would they give you.
That's what was limiting the number of students.
Because who's going to support them?
Yeah.
The yeshiva doesn't have money to pay to provide board. The community has to help them. So the community can only handle a certain number of boys. The yeshivas were limited. Okay, then what about Eliyahu is in the more modern times. Because Elio, we're taking dealing over here 400, we're dealing over here long after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Where's the first yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? Shem Yever was in. The spiritual Shem Yever, was that in Eretz Yisrael?
Sure.
Malki Tzedek Melech Sholei.
Sure.
So he was in Eretz Yisrael. Eiver, where was Eiver? Okay, also. Sure. Also in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but in later times, we have the Beis Medrash of Eliyahu Hanavi. But that was not your typical Beis Medrash, because that was the Beis Medrash to teach prophecy. So teaching prophecy is not the same thing as teaching Torah necessarily. I mean, it's all totally zeb-zeb. It's different. Any event, we have Talmidei Eliyahu v'heim dibru v'chichu es'am. They gave Musa to the people, all of these prophets. Their job was to give Musa. The job of a Navi, the primary job of a Navi is to give Musa. We have different expressions for prophecy. There are 10 expressions for prophecy. He learned like the second parish Rashi. The word Adameh refers to Proverbs. All of this did not make a difference. Hashem is speaking. I've tried so hard with you people, but you're not receptive. Next pasuk. Now here, the pasuk comes to list our earliest sins. It's a very important pasuk. It's illustrating, we've touched upon this in the past, and this pasuk just bangs it in hard. Where did Klal Yisrael begin to go wrong? Large scale. There always were small power problems. When they passed through the Yarden, Shevedon took with them Pesel Micha. Okay, that was only an individual. Micha. Over here we have large-scale sin in Gilad Oven. Gilad was the first place where sin was committed. Ach Shav Hayu. They were considered to be nothing. We're going to see what that means in one moment. But Gilgal, in Gilgal, Shivadim Zibechu, they sacrifice oxen to the gods. Gam Mizbechaysam Kagalim Al Talme Sodoi. And their altars were numerous, like Galim are waves on the furrows of the field. Now, I didn't translate this too well. Let's see the Mitzudos for a lot better than I can do. Pasuk Yudbeis, Im Gilad Oven. What does that mean? Im Oven Bo Al Gilad. So he's learning punishment. Okay, we'll see different perushim as we go along. But he translates this to mean, if you're going to see now, Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, a holocaust is coming. If you're going to see Oven, meaning punishment, im Oven Bo Al Gilad, if you see a Churban come upon the city of Gilad, Hine Loi Ba B'Mikra. It's not a coincidence. Ki im B'Hashgacha L'Sashlum Gimul. It is divine providence that this should happen. Ki Ma'aseha Hayu Ach Shav. Because their sins were Shav. Achshav, there's nothing that happened in Gilgal that was of any value to Hashem. The behavior, the conduct of the inhabitants of Gilad was shav. Shav means nothing, or shav means empty. And you'll say, what's so bad? As long as they have not done averos, you know, it's one thing if you don't learn. As long as you don't do averos, it's also good. Right? There are two different levels. You're supposed to do mitzvahs. So you know what? I'm not going to do mitzvahs. I'll stay home and do nothing. I'll just do nothing. And then you have, instead of doing mitzvahs, I'm going to go out and do averos. What is worse? Of course, you'll say to go do averos is much worse than doing nothing. That's definitely true, but it's not 100% true. Because we all know this principle, that in Yadus there's no such thing as being parv. If you're not moving forward, automatically you're moving backwards. Shav, by doing nothing is considered to be as evil as going backwards. And sometimes it could be even worse. At least if you're moving, you have a goal, you're alive. In a sati l'cha mahalchem. If you're going somewhere, so you may just be misguided. So we need someone to knock on your head and say, you know, instead of going down this road, why don't you invest, why don't you expend your energy and your effort on going down the correct road? But if a person goes nowhere, you're stagnant, you're sitting around doing nothing, then the motivation's not going to get you to go anywhere. It's you need a lot more motivation to get something moving than to take something which already is moving and just get it on the right track. You have a train that's going, that's moving, so just change the tracks. Just change the whatever it's called, just to have the conductor or someone to get the train on the right tracks to get to the right location. But if the train's not moving,
change the gear.
But if the train is broken and it's not going anywhere. So shove to a degree in one dimension is even worse than going backwards, and that's how the Metzudos translates this pasuk im gilad. If you oven means in this context churban. If you witness oven, it's a loose translation. If you witness a churban, a holocaust come upon the city of Gilad, don't say it was a coincidence. It's ach shav hayu. It's a response. It's a punishment for their behavior. Their behavior is in the eyes of Hashem was shav. Shav means empty, nothing. Or if you want to use a loose translation, it was evil. It was corrupt. Back to the words of the Metzudos. Now, then he goes on to explain the second half of the pasuk. What does it mean over here? Gilgal. What does Gilgal have to do with Gilad? Gilad and Gilgal are two different locations, two different places. Now, before we go further, we have to remember where was the first encampment of Klal Yisrael when they came into Eretz Yisrael? Gilgal.
Right.
The first place they conquered Yericho. They conquered Ai. And then they rested in Gilgal. Now, a mayor told me, Rabbi, you claim that's not necessarily true. They first came to Gilgal right away, and then they went to the battle of Ai and Yericho. Okay, fine. So whatever it is, but it was the first settlement. Ai and Yericho were the first battles. But the first place where they settled, they settled down, they put down their packages, was in Gilgal. That's where they set up shop. That's where they erected the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu for 14 years during the years of conquest and distribution of the land, Gilgal. What did they do there? They offered many sacrifices. To whom? Now, here is a very interesting idea.
They made the bris
between Hashem when they first arrived. But right away, during those years, right away, there were problems. It became a shrine. Now we know from other psukim that being that Gilgal was the first place where Klal Yisrael encamped when they came into Eretz Yisrael and where they set up the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, this place became a shrine. And when Klal Yisrael went off the derech and they worshipped idols, this was the ideal place to worship idols. Because this place already has a history as being a holy place, a place of sacrifice. So even though now let's say they moved on to Shiloh, the Mishkan was in Shiloh, or let's say Noive Givoy, or maybe even the Beis HaMikdash, people who wanted to worship idols gravitated towards Gilgal, because Gilgal was a makom which was infused with Kedusha, and wherever there is Kedusha, that's where the Nisoyon of Tuma, everyone. Which shape was Gilgal in? I think it was Binyamin. Binyamin had all the places, had all the structures until the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. I'm not mistaken, right? Is it Binyamin? Shiloh was for sure in Binyamin. And Noiv Givon was also in Binyamin. Gilgal, maybe not. Maybe I'm making it with Gilgal. But I know Noiv Givon and Shiloh was in the Chelik of Binyamin. Was Gilgal also? I don't know. I don't remember. Kiva Gilgal Mokem Shamar Hamikdash Betchila Sham Zibechu Shavadim. So the Metzudos learns they offered sacrifices here, like to Avodah Zarah, La Avodas Kechavim, the Gam Mizbechaisam, their altars. Shasu La Avodas Kechavim Uchayu Merubos Kama Mispar. It was numerous. The altars in Gilgal was numerous. Kimispar Hagalim, like Galim. What a galim! So I told you means waves. It doesn't necessarily mean it means mounds. Keep shehem al talmei. So then, when you dig, when you have a field agriculture, you dig furrows. And if you ever drive on the highway out in the west, on Eretz Yisrael, and you see fields that are planted. So the rows, endless rows, furrows. That's how many mizbechos were erected for idols in Gilgal. So now according to the Mitzudos, is not connecting the dots. The Mitzudos Kedarko is just trying to translate the pasuk on a very, very simple level. And he's telling us there are two sins. One seemingly has nothing to do with the other. There was Gilad. It happens to mention that Gilad was a place of, it was a really bad place. In Gilad, the people were in a state of Achshav. And that's why Gilad is going to suffer the worst punishment of Oven. And there was another sin that was taking place in this era. And that was taking place in Gilgal, where people gravitated to build altars, to worship idols to the gods. And we are just filling in from background, from a while ago, from the Malbim. And he explained to us why Gilgal was such an attraction for people who wanted to worship idols, because Gilgal was the first place where the Mishkan was erected. It was a place of very, very intense Kedusha. And I guess when the Kedusha leaves, that opens up a hole where Tuma enters. Why is a woman who gives birth to a child, why is she Tame for 7 days? Why is she Tame for a female for 14 days? Because until this point in time, she was carrying a baby. And the baby is a Dovar Shebe Kedusha. The Malach comes and teaches the baby, called her a Kula, in her womb. In her womb is the highest degree of sanctity. And when that sanctity leaves, the void is Tuma. And that's why a woman who Yoledes, she's Tame for 7 days. And that's why people want to argue, and they say that a female is more holy than a man. And the proof that females have more sanctity than men is from the fact that when a woman gives birth to a female, she is Tumea double the time, 14 days. We have a principle, Zelu Mazeh, that Tuma corresponds to Kedusha. And if the void of the baby leaving her womb caused her to become Tame for 14 days after a female, contrast to a male who's only, she's only Tame for 7 days, that indicates that the sanctity that was in her womb for those 9 months of a female is double the sanctity of a woman carrying a male. Okay, that's what Chazal say. There are certain milas that women have in Kedusha that men do not have. And what's the most basic reason? The Levush. We learned yesterday the Levush. See, this became my new favorite sefer now, the Levush. He says, why is that talking? What advantage does a woman have that a man does not have? It all starts with this. When Hashem created man, Hashem said to the Malachim, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Na'aseh B'lashoin Rabin. And Rashi on the Pasuk says, Na'aseh, there's only one God. How could Hashem use the term Na'aseh Adam? Rashi tells us, Hashem consulted with the Malachim. Hashem asked the Malachim, what do you think? Do you think we should create man? And the Malachim said, no way. We don't want competition. No competition, no way. And Hashem went and he put his finger upon them and he obliterated them. Hashem then called in the second group of Malachim, asked them the same question, should we make man? And the Malachim said, no way, Jose. And what did Hashem do? He obliterated them as well. Then the third Malachim already figured out what happened, and they Hashem called them in, and Hashem said, should we make man? And the Malachim says, he's asking us?
Whatever you say.
Whatever. We're not looking for trouble here. Do whatever you want. Just don't raise your finger. Don't raise that finger.
It goes along with the part that you said, that Malachim had Bechira.
Oh, they're trying to have Bechira. Of course they're right. So the Malachim, don't ask us. Okay, very good. We're going to make man. Why did Hashem go through the effort of asking? Because Hashem knew that man's nature is arrogance. Man is arrogant. He is haughty. He is domineering. He's all these good midos put together. So in order to somehow to lighten the blow, to soften the arrogance of man, Hashem used the word Naaseh in the creation of man, which is an expression of humility. I'm not the boss. It's an expression of humility. Maybe if I would use the word Naaseh in the DNA of making man, maybe man will somehow soften the arrogance of man. That's why. Oh, but that opens up a Pesach for the Apikarsim to say that there's more than one God. Hashem says it's the midah of Anava is so important. It's worthy that there should be a kitter, there should be a koyach in the world of apikorsis, in order that man should be humble. You learn from this chazal amazing things. First, you learn from this chazal, in life, there are trade-offs. Built into creation of man, I took a course, it was the best course I took in college. It was Joe Thurm. Joe Thurm, he taught a whole course showing how everything in computers is a trade-off. If you have a more powerful CPA, then you're going to have is a trade-off. The more powerful the CPA of your CPU is a trade-off. There's going to be a deficiency somewhere else. If you're going to have a lot of more memory, he's a brilliant core. Everything in life, not just the computers, but there's no such thing in life as having it all, having everything. You know, someone wants a shatran. What kind of girl do you want? What kind of girl do you want? So the boy listed, I want these 10 milers. A, B, C. He went through 10 different things he's looking for in a girl. The shatran said, we're talking about 10 different girls. There's no such thing as having all 10 in one girl. Or all 10 in one boy. There's no such thing. In life, there are trade-offs. If you have one miler, you automatically are lacking somewhere else. And that nida is built into the Bria. Hashem said naseh. Naseh is humility. Humility came with a great expense. Apikorsis. All of the apikorsis in this world comes from the word naseh. When Hashem said naseh adam, naseh means the first human beings, right? The creation of humanity. How come human beings do not recognize that there is a creator? How come in the world most people are in the dark? They don't fully appreciate that there's a creator. Because Hashem did it to man. Hashem said, Naseh, let us make man. It's not just me. There are other forces out there in the world that will contribute to your creation. Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem mislead us? Because the trade-off of saying Naseh creates a human being that has a midah of humility. Just like Hashem was humble, I'm not going to do it on my own. Let me consult with the lesser. Let me consult with my malachim. Let me give them an opportunity to express themselves. That's a beautiful midah of anava. I want that midah to exist in the makeup of a human being. But that comes with a very great expense. And that expense is, in this world, there's something called apikorsis. People do not recognize. So how do we get into all this? Let's go to Isha. Man was created. He was the king of the world. And then Hashem says, Loitoiv heyois odom levado. Man is lonely. This lonely creature. He needs a wife. E-e-se-loi. What?
A wife or a wife?
Both. It's all the same. It's all the same. E-e-se-loi ezer kinegdoi. Let me make for him an ezer and a kinegdo. Someone to help him out, do his laundry, and someone to give him musr. Ezer kinegdo. Both. What word did Hashem use when it came to the creation of an Isha? E-e-se. I alone will make a woman. E'eseh loy ezer kenegdo. A woman has an ability to recognize the Ribbono shel Olam much, much easier, much faster than a man. Nashim have bina yisera. Mevin davar mitoch davar. They look at the world, they immediately come to the recognition there is a Ribbono shel Olam. Okay, Nash, look at the girls' schools today. The girls' schools today are phenomenal. He never heard a bad word about a girls' school today. In girls' schools today, they're all Yireim Mushleimim. It's always the boys that are having the hard time. And exceptions, of course. You know, the girls also have problems. But derech klal, the girls, there's a certain koyach that Nashim have that men do not have. And the Levush says this. And it all comes from one word. E'eseloi. Hashem said, I alone will make a woman. There's only one partner in the creation of a woman, that is Hashem, and therefore Nashim have an easier time recognizing Hashem, and the Levush goes on to explain that's why the woman makes the bracha, She'osani kiritzoinoi. Hashem made me according to His will. Can a man make this bracha? It's levush. It sounds like a modern Orthodox commentator. This is the levush. Can a man make the bracha? Sha'asani kiritzono. A man cannot make the bracha. Why not? Because it wasn't only kiritzoin Hashem. Hashem said nase. Hashem asked the malachim, what do you think? Should we do it? Should we not do it? They first said no. Then the third group said yes. So a man, a zohar, cannot make the ideal bracha she'asani kiritzoina. Only a woman can make the bracha she'asani kiritzoina. So men, they can't make that bracha, nebuch. So what do they do? So they'll say, no, at least she'lo yasani isha. I have more mitzvahs. I have more mitzvahs. So the levush is a pella. You think this is mamash? If someone would say this today, he would be branded as a feminist, as an apikoris. Who knows what they would say about if someone would say such a var today? To say is that the ikur bracha is to say shosani kiritzoina. Being that a man cannot make that bracha because a man is imperfect, a man is built into, man is arrogant, and therefore Hashem has to humble man by saying nase. So man can't make that bracha. So what is the next best thing to say? A man looks at this woman who domineers upon him, much better than him. So he says, I have one over you. I have more mitzvahs than you. You're part of a mitzvah seish as man grama. I am chayv in all mitzvahs. I'm better than you in that respect. That's a far cry from an isha.
Why is it negative?
Why is it in a negative way? Shelo yasani isha. Okay, but whatever. That's another question. Why it's in the negative form? Shelo yasani isha. But it's second fiddle. Okay, today in all the conservative sidurim, I don't even say that. I don't even acknowledge them. They rip it out of the siddur. They rip it out of the siddur because how can you say how can you go to a man say shelo? You totally missed the point. Totally missed what? What?
Sure.
All over the world. What are you talking about? They rip this out. They missed the point. The ikur bracha is shasani kirit Sinai. A man can't say that. So in Mela, you say they have more mitzvahs. Now going back to our pasuk, we're going over here to Gilgal. We have over here. Im Gilad Oven. Im Gilad, so we have to go. We have to go back to the. How do we get into this? Let's review how we got into this whole discussion. Because in Gilgal, I mentioned to you that when a woman gives birth to a man, when she carries a male in her womb for 9 months, and the baby comes out when kedusha departs, it's like when an animal dies. What happens? It's infested with flies and bugs. Okay, when life goes away, it's overtaken by the koichos of tum. Whenever there's kedusha and kedusha departs, there is a void. That void is a magnet. Is a magnet for tumah. When the void of kedusha leaves, when a woman carries a male in her womb for 9 months, and now the kedusha departs, so the void is a magnet for tumah. How long is the tumah going to last? Nine months. The tumah will last 9 months. Well, 7 days. But when a woman carries in her womb a female, on a keva, there's double the kedusha. Why is there double the kedusha? Because this is a creature, e'eseloi, that Hashem alone has created. Not with the malachim. So there is a greater hakara of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is more kedusha. There is more kedusha. When that kedusha departs, there's a greater void. That void is a magnet for tumah. How much more tumah? Double. 14 days. Now, take that idea, which is a very popular idea. I'm not telling you this is not my own stuff. This is very popular stuff. Now go back over here to this thing of to Gilgal. What's in Gilgal? Gilgal was possibly the most intense kedusha ever experienced in Eretz Yisrael. Niskatnu Hadaros. This is the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim. Even though the adults died, but the children were by Har Sinai. Anyone under 20 years old, 19 years old, and the last day, 20 years minus one day, was at Har Sinai. These were people that saw Hashem. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. They came into Eretz Yisrael. Could we even fathom on what level these people were on? And they set up shop for the very first time in Gilgal. And they had Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan in Gilgal for 14 years. And they served Hashem. From there on, it's all downhill. Okay, the Kedusha that was for the next 369 years in Shiloh is not Gilgal. Noiv Given is not, even the Beis HaMikdash is not the same. Every generation, it's 480 years. Okay, every generation, as you distance yourself from Har Sinai, Niskatnu Hadoros, there is a Yerida. So the highest level of Kedusha ever present in the Holy Land was in Gilgal. When that Kedusha came to an end, when they moved on to Shiloh, and then later to Noiv Givain, and then later to the Beis HaMikdash, so where was the void the greatest? The void was the greatest in Gilgal. When there's a void of Kedusha, when there's Kedusha, and then there's a void, it is a magnet for Tumah, for contamination. So is it a surprise to us that it says here that in Gilgal, Shavarm Zibechu, Vagam Mizbechosam, you know how many altars there were in Gilgal? You couldn't count them. They were so numerous, it was impossible to count. Why Davkin Gilgal? Because that's where there was the greatest void of Kedusha when they moved on. That was the greatest Kedusha. That's the very greatest void of Kedusha. That's why Gilgal was a magnet for all the Meshugayim to come and worship idols. Because the Shekhinah was no longer there. The Shekhinah moved on now to other places. Now, the Mitzudos is not connecting the dots. It's not telling us how Gilgal was connected to Gil'ad. They're not the same. Don't confuse Gilad and Gilgal. They're two different places. Now that we need to look at the other commentators. Before we have to first go one thing, let's take a first look at Rashi. I don't know if we're going to get to it today. We'll look at Rashi. Rashi over here also, you have an amazing Rashi, which opens up our eyes to a new translation of a very popular word, but we have to get there first. Let's see, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We did Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, in Gilad Oven. Im Ba Lohem Shever V'Oines. Okay, he's learning the translation just like we learned in the Mitzudos David, that if you discover Churban, if you witness a Holocaust in this city called Gilad, you should know it's not a mikra. It's not just happenstance. It's for a reason. Heim garmu le'atzman. They brought it upon themselves. Ki ach shav hayu, because in Gilgal they were people of vanity. It was a place of vanity. Uva Gilgal. Next, and then it says, there's another thing. Again, Rashi is not connecting the dots. He's not connecting. That's very disturbing. Why these two things are grouped together. That's why we need to come into the Malbim. Uva Gilgal Shavodim Zibehu L'Avoyda Zara. And there in Gilgal, they offered sacrifice to Avoyda Zara. Notice both Rashi and the Mitzudos are consistent. They learned that it was Avoyda Zara in Gilgal. Gam Mizbechoysam Rabim Kagaldim Sha'al Talmei Sodoi. What does it mean, the word Sodoi? So what are you going to say to me? It means a field, a soda. A sode is the shurish of sode. Is, if you want to say that a shurish has two letters, it's a shindalit. Sodoi, we drop the hey, my field. Sodoi, al talme sode. Hashem is the speaker. And Hashem is saying, it's my land. I write the rules. I'm the landlord. First Rashi in the Torah. Right? The first Rashi in the Torah, it's my world. And Eretz Yisrael is my sode. Sodoi al talmei, the furrows, sodoi of my field, a sode. And Hashem is the speaker, so Hashem is saying that it's mine. And the thing, the whole world is Hashem's world. In a world, you have all different types of agriculture, all different types of land. You have mountains, and you have valleys, and you have rivers. Eretz Yisrael is called the sode of Hashem. Okay, page 182. 182, okay?
What doesn't tell me?
A furrow means a row. A row when you plow, it causes the earth to come up. Okay, so Rashi sodai, talmei sodai, ma'anis. So Rashi says no. That's not what the word sodai means. Rashi here is telling us something that's off the charts. A whole new translation. You've been fooled your whole life in the word sodai. It means ma'anis hamacharesha, the furrow, the hole that's etched out by the plow, hamacharesha, kiruya telem is called, that's a telem. Now, Rashi is not clear what he means, and that's why you have over the sifsei zikanim. And we jump down to the word Sifsei Zakenim. Let's go to the whole thing. Okay, let's go very quickly. This is Zakenim. Talmei Sodai Uperish Rashi Zalchi Manis Hamachresha Kruya Telem Ad Kan Lishoinoi Ritzon Eloimar Manis Hamachresha, the furrow of the plow, he who aruba is a row, kimo tilo meho rave, saturate its rows. Avol al milas sodoi loy meforesh rashi zalkan. Rashi here is not translating the word sodoi. Avol v'rabim choishrim shemilas sodoi kimo sode, the furrow of the field. The word sodoi is synonymous with sode. The ayin Rashi b'Rashi zal in Yecheskel, period. Ulefi anias daiti nira shahocha meforish Rashi zal shemilas sodoi. You have to read the Rashi more carefully, or maybe Rashi's words are a little bit corrupt. Maybe some things of Rashi are missing, some words are missing, which we don't have to be very. That happens sometimes here, and he is suggesting that Rashi, when he translates the words, the talmei sodoi, talmei means the mound of the furrow. The Sifsei Zakenim over here is saying that if you're going to translate the word Talmei Sodoi, it's not accurate. It's not accurate, because if the word Talmei means the furrow, it is the furrow of Talmei, the furrow of the Sodoi of the field. Okay, so Talmei means the furrow, and the Sodoi is the field. But the problem is the word Talmei does not really mean a furrow. Talmei means a mound. A furrow is the part that's underground, is the ditch.
Up.
What?
The part that's dug up is the furrow.
Okay, so which part is the part that's above ground, and then there is the indentation in the ground, the part
the
that is below ground?
Groove.
The groove. So what is the groove? What is the translation of the word groove? And what is the translation of the part that is above ground? So according to what we're learning now, Talmei is the groove. A furrow is the groove. But that's not what Talmei. Talmei is lashon of a mound, a tal. A mound, it really refers to the part that's above ground. So the way we translate the words...
That's what gal is for.
A gal.
Gal is, those are the
heap. Tal is also a heap. Tal is also a heap. So that's the problem with Rashi. Rashi, we translate the word Talmei Sodoi. Sodoi means a field. And the Talmei is the groove. But that's not correct. Talmei is not the groove. Talmei would better fit the part of the furrow that's above ground, the earth that's been displaced from the groove that's above on the surface. Therefore, the Sifsei Zacham wants to suggest, very interestingly, that the word Talmei indeed means the part that's above the ground, and the Sodoi is the groove. Sodoi does not mean a field. Sodoi means a groove in the ground. Let's see what's over here.
If that's the case, what do you do with galim?
It's another word. Galim, like, I was saying, galim, the heaps. Okay, let's read and see what he says. Look, okay, you're right. I didn't pay attention to the word galim. Let's read the words of the Rashi, though, what he says over here. The ayin b'rashi zal, ufi ani estaiti nirat shahacha, b'farish rashi zal. The reason why I'm dwelling upon this for a reason is because the word sodoi is also the same letters as Hashem's name, Shakai. Shin Dalid Yud. We wear these letters on our tefillin, Hashem's name. So it's really essential for us to have a much greater appreciation of the word Sodoi in order to get a better sense of what Hashem's name is. Okay, we're here in the Shemus. This is a Kabbalah class. We learn about Hashem's name. What exactly is Sodoi? So Sodoi, we just glance over it. It means a field. The furrows of the field, it's like it said the word sade. Shakai, that's a whole different concept.
Over that's a different
term. Omar, so we associate shakai as being nothing more than nutriken. Nutriken and an acronym. Sh'omar le'oilomoy dai. That's the most common interpretation. What does it mean, shakai? Hashem said, Shin, Sh'omar, Le'olamoy. The Lamed, it seems, is used twice. Le'olamoy. Sh'omar, Le'olamoy. We inject that into the acronym. Shomar. Die. And what does that mean? So you have a whole host of interpretations of what does it mean, die. It means tzimtzum. It means Hashem limited himself so we can relate to him. Dai means Hashem told the world, stop, don't expand. I want you not to. The world was expanding at a rate where it would be obvious that there's a creator. Hashem wanted the world should be not finished, should stop in the middle in order to give man the opportunity to finish the world by coming to recognize Hashem's existence.
Ad
b'li dai. Ad b'li dai can mean Shomar li'olam dai, there should be bracha. Dai dayenu. Right, Dayena, we say Dayena, we keep say Dayena, because before I was out on Haggadah, we mentioned that. Why do we say Dayenu? Because the whole beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim was a complaint. Chaval al da'avdim. When Hashem recruited Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the first problem? Chaval, you're the leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I only appeared to them with the tables of Shakai. And you have to know Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what do we do by the Haggadah? We boinish loylam chotasi chotasi. We should not have complained. We go back to Dayenu, die, die, die. We go back to the Shem Shaka. Okay, that's one approach. But here, if we read this very carefully, it's opening up our eyes to a whole new depth of Shaka. Now, what is it? So what does it mean, Shaka? Well, first of all, Rashi very simply says, it's not Shakai. Make believe doesn't say the word. It says Sodeh. Sodeh. Sodeh is not Shakai. It's not. It's a whole different word. Why then is there over here Sodoi? Oh, because in grammar, because of the way the word is used here in this context, at the end of the Pasuk, it's a style of a speech, expression, so therefore the word Sodeh turned into Shakai, but don't get carried away. Don't get carried away and make anything out of it. But the Siv says, the Kadim is telling us no. There's a fundamental difference between the word sodeh and the word sodoi. Sodeh is a field. Sodoi means a groove. It means a void. Let's see. What words over here? Aniyastaiti. So this over here is a novel interpretation. Nirishahacham, the first Rashi Zal, Shemila sodoi, who gam kein l'shoin telem. The Zelosh Rashi Zal B'Medesh Rabba Le'emek Hasidim. When Avraham Avinu, he went to go and rescue Lot, the world war, the four kings against the five kings. So Avraham, he rescued Melech Sidon from the Emek of Sidim. The Shoresh of the word Sidim is Shin Dalid Yud, quicksand, a groove, a ditch, a hole in the ground, a sinkhole, like an infinite sinkhole. There's no end to the hole, a void. L'shoin telamim. Oh, telamim means, Rashi there translates in the Medrash, that the word sidim is a telem. Ooh, k'mod teima. And Rashi quotes this pasuk, talmei sodoi. Uchsiv yifatach visadeid admaso. The word visadeid means open up. Visadeid means dig a ditch. Isn't that an amazing raya? Visadeid. Sin Dalit. Open up the earth. Visadeid, in this context, it clearly means dig a ditch in the ground. Make an opening in the ground. Afu l'shoin telem. So it means a ditch. Kisha adam choyresh, when a person plows, oise telamim harbe, he makes a lot of ditches. At kan l'shoinai v'ayin yishai b'rash yisham shemavar yosef v'kalhoven. So therefore, basically, these two words go together. Okay, Ruchol, you're right. Galen means the part of this far, which is above the surface. Talmei sodoi is one expression. It's two words which mean the same thing, which it emphasis. It means the groove. We typically refer to the groove in the ground as the telem. But the truth is the word sodoi also means the groove. It's also the groove in the ground. Sodoi, it's not the word sodeh. Doesn't mean the groove that is in the field. Until now we've been translating there's a groove that is found in the field. No. He's saying, go look at Rashi in the Medrash, Emek Hasidim. The word sodoi is a very precise word, which means an opening, a void, a hole. So now we have a new interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this world, it means Hashem created the world with the Shem Shakai. Hashem is Miloy Chol Aretz Kevoidoi. In this world, you don't see Hashem. The whole existence of this world is Hester Panim. Purpose is for man to discover that there is a creator. Hashem created a void in his essence, in his being. By naturally, Hashem is Miloi Chol HaOlam Kivaydai. Hashem is all over. This world is a bubble. It's a bubble in Miloi Chol HaOlam Kivodo. It's not obvious. Prove it's not obvious. Look at this world. There are 8 billion people in this world. How many people in this world? The market is Ribono Shel Olam. The purpose is there's a bubble. There's this enclosure, this bubble, and we're in that bubble, and our mission in this is to recognize through the Hester Panim that indeed it's Hashem's world. That's our mission, and for that is the whole tafkid of being in this world. So it's amazing. Sha'omar lilamai die, that's one dimension of the shame shakai. But another dimension of the word shakai, you're only going to find over here in this Sakanim, over here in this Pasuk, Talmei Sodai, just like when you have a field, a nice level land, and you take a plow, and you plow the land, you make a hole, you make a groove, you make a void, you make an empty space, a space that's no longer, there's no surface, there's nothing there, it's empty. That's what Hashem did in creation of this world. Hashem is all over. I want to carve out a place where I'm going to hide myself, where I'm going to create a hester upon him and put man there and allow man to hide and seek, to discover me. The precision is amazing of why it's specifically the Shin Dalid Yud. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue with the Malachi.